Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Well, the Preds are down 0-1 in their series with the Carolina Hurricanes, and we're here to cure all the ills. Yes, indeed. Just listen to us, and boy, we'll be down 0-2 in a heartbeat. We'll talk to the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes, Mike Maniscalco, joining us tonight. And it's all brought to you by Day One sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. The largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee are good friends of Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries Nashville, with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee, including furniture in stock and ready to ship. No four-month wait. You got to check them out. And, of course, our good friend Carter Church with KW Murfreesboro, your real estate expert. I'm Paul McCann. Our co-hosts are former NHL coach and player Brent Peterson and Predators insider Zach McCann. Boys, the boys are back in town, all three of us in the same studio, not on Zoom, on the palatial 102.5 The Game studios on Murfreesboro Road. Not bad. Coach, how are you today?
Doing good, doing good. I do as good till after the first period last night.
Yeah,
after that it was.
Here I was thinking that I wasn't going to get sick now that I had the vaccine, and that game just made me feel ill. I don't know what happened there.
I got stomachache too.
We're here to kind of we're not here to praise Caesar, but to bury him. Last night's game, I look at it, and there has been all kinds of things. I mean, the Twitter experts have gone absolutely bonkers,
I think the Predators fan base is known for being even keeled, even tempered, and looks at everything through a very, very fair lens. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm getting out of the studio because the lightning's hitting right there in that chair. But I mean, look, it's the playoffs. Everything is magnified. But when you look at last night, the first thing that everyone went nuts about was the third D pairing. Okay, with Gudbranson and Harper as the third D pair, everyone went bonkers about it. And look, are you expecting speed from that group? No, they're there for one thing and one thing only: bulk. They're there to hit again, and maybe for the heck of it, hit one more time. And for a while, the strategy worked. I mean, you have to admit that. But I'm going to submit to you that the third D pair last night was not the worst D pair on the ice for the Nashville Predators. And I'm going to say it right now. I don't think Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis had a good game at all last night, Coach.
Well,
no, Lord, Zach, go for it.
Yeah, please, go ahead. You're right. They had a very poor game. They didn't do the things they needed to do. I don't know. Ellis seems to be slow and not using his skills to his advantage. He never skates up ice with the puck. He stands there and makes passes into the neutral zone. And Josi just had an off night. Josi, I know, will recover.
Of course it happens, sure.
It happens. But you know why those two guys, the big guys on the back end, were there. They're there to keep the flies off our good players and hopefully that they get through. But you gotta watch what you do here. You don't go too far one way,
right?
And now we can't come back and go the other way all the way. You gotta have a little bit of balance, and that's why this team has won 4 lines, 6D, and a goaltender, and that's how they've won the last.
And I'm gonna go there in just a minute, but Zach, I know you want to weigh in on this one.
Well, that's the thing. Statues are tough and they're fun to look at, but they do have trouble moving, and we saw that last night. Well, yes, I do think that the first pairing was objectively the worst pair for the Nashville Predators last night. They are going to be better. I think you saw the best possible game out of the Ben Harper and Eric Gudbranson pairing that you are possibly going to see last night, and they still had a critical error. And this is nothing against either player.
They got undressed on a couple of different plays.
The issue
is
you can
minus one, and Josi and Ellis were minus three.
Oh, agreed. But the problem is you can afford to have one of Ben Harper or Eric Gudbranson.
Right.
You can't afford to have both.
I agree with that totally.
And that's I was going to go there, Coach, because I think that's a very good point. And look, as we're tearing apart what happened last night, I mean, look, hindsight is always 20/20. We know that. But I think you're right. And you said that when we were, kind of discussing the game before we got started here. One of them in the lineup absolutely makes sense. Two of them maybe just a little bit too much of an okay thing.
And maybe all the other defensemen were hurt. And you can't put Davies in a game like this. But there's Favreau and there's Who else we got on the playing?
Is Matt Benning?
Matt Benning had a great. He played with Yossi, for heaven's sakes, when everybody was hurt. He played very well. So you got experience. Favreau, I don't think is 100% healthy because they waited to keep him out to the last game, just to get him some reps or whatever in a nothing game. And you know how bad that game was, 5-0 game, and he played, but. I hope they make it one or two changes in the lineup. I hope they mix up the pairings, too. I think Ekholm and Ellis would be a hell of a pair.
You mentioned that Ellis doesn't take the puck up, and I think that's a casualty of playing with Roman Josi, who you have to let roam.
Well, I don't mean he carries the puck up, but if everybody's backed into the neutral zone, he's got to skate up, bring a guy to him, move the puck, and then go, or give it to Josi and let him go. I don't like Josi leading the rush.
No.
I like forwards leading the rush.
Forwards.
Duchesne, go speed down the wing, shut down, hit Josi and Ellis coming on the back end, coming up behind. And that's, we haven't done that. You haven't seen them.
And by the metrics, Duchesne is the best player on this team when it comes to breaking the puck into the zone.
Right.
From a zone entry perspective.
He's got speed, and everybody knows he's got speed.
Exactly.
So the D-back's off. Mm-hmm. And if they want to play hard, you go around them with speed. And if they come up and play you tight, you shut down and hit people late or throw the puck at the net. And we never did that all night long.
Which, you know, Coach, that brings me to a good point about one Matt Duchesne. If you're going to have Matt Duchesne in the lineup, then you need to play Matt Duchesne. Let Matt Duchesne play. He created a great goal with Eric Halla last night. Now give him some talent on the wing and give him top 6 minutes. You're paying him $8 million a year. He has had bad bounces, no doubt about that. But by every other conceivable metric, he has been one of the best forwards on this team.
I think that's a result of the trust that he has, the trust or the non-trust that he has in the coach has in. To be honestly, I if I'm coaching behind the bench, I'd have a tough time, trusting him to do the thing that you need him to do in a playoff game.
Well, when you but again, and I'm going to go, I'm kind of coming down on the fact of, I think that objectively, when you look at Duchesne's playoff history. Okay. In my opinion, he was the best player on the ice for the Nashville Predators in their play-in round last year. You could also make a case
that he was in Columbus.
He was one of the best players on the ice during Columbus's run a couple of years ago, helped lead that team to their first ever playoff series win. I mean, so look, I have been as hard on Matt Duchesne as almost anybody in here. I think that he's a much better player than he's shown. But I also think at this point, the big guns have got to, the big dogs have got to eat. In order to eat, you got to feed them. And I don't think 9 minutes, which I think what he had, 9.5 minutes playtime last night?
7 minutes on 5-on-5 and then a little bit of power play time.
I'm sorry, but that is not, in this observer's opinion, it's not the way that you utilize a Matt Duchesne. You get him on the second line. You get him a good 12, 14, 15, 16 minutes. And let the chips fall. But, Zach, you make a great point. He set up Halla beautifully on that goal. He created a couple of other good chances last night in his limited ice time. I mean, so, it's funny because I don't want to sit here and be so highly critical because let's face it, guys, it's one game.
Sure. Right.
Okay. Well, the fact that we're 0-11 after losing game one in the playoffs doesn't matter at all.
The fact is we're here and we have to talk about it, so we might.
No question. Absolutely. But I mean,
there's one game. Thanks for joining us for Slapshot Radio.
We're done. Thank you. But I mean, when you look at this, though, I mean, I think there are positives to pull out of last night's game.
Sure, there are.
Okay, and I think the first positive you pull out of last night's game is I don't think anybody. Even the most gold-tinted glasses that you could look through say that that was the best game you've seen the Nashville Predators play.
Oh, God, no. No, I think that's one of the worst games I've seen them play in the last few months, if anything. They were not good last night, and they were still in that game 40 minutes in. They went in the third tied after playing that kind of game. That's something you can take heart in, that this team can play with the Carolina Hurricanes.
Well, and again, you get a bad bounce on the third goal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Saros makes an otherworldly save to the point where almost every Nashville Predator stood around and observed and just kind of enjoyed it. But I mean, but again, bad bounce comes right out to the slot, for heaven's sakes. I mean, come on. But when you know,
Carolina's good enough. They don't need the bounces.
Exactly. Right? Sure. I mean, but and that's the other thing. And it's funny. And Coach, we've heard you say this time and time again. You know, the funny part about hockey is that there's another team on the ice and they want to win almost as badly as you do. And you got to give the Carolina Hurricanes credit. They did not play a great game either.
But that is one good hockey team.
They've got Finns and Swedes and Europeans and
they're
Russians
getting
and
along.
Czechs.
Oh my.
And you know what? They put them into a team and they have a real team. They don't have a lot of extra guys. They've just done a good job putting their team together. But we have to sort of put that aside because you don't want to say, oh, these guys are so good, we should have never beat them.
No,
we have to recognize how good they are.
Right.
We have to know that, but we have to know that our guys can play with them any bit of the time.
And you look at Sebastian Aho last night. Holy heavens. That one drive down the left side of the ice in the second period where, I mean, he just turned on the afterburners and passed everybody like they were standing still.
For my money, Sebastian Aho is one of the most underrated players in this league.
Don't disagree with
he's
that.
He's got the same speed as McDavid.
But he's got you're going to say it, McDavid. I agree.
He does. He has that kind of speed. That's how good he is.
It's game-breaking speed.
Yeah, it is.
No question. Well, we have just scratched the surface of Game 1. We're going to actually cure all the ills and tell you exactly what needs to happen in Game 2. And, and quite frankly, like I said, if that happens, oh, boy, abandon hope, all ye who enter here. Anyway, we've got Mike Maniscalco coming up next from the Carolina Hurricanes, the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes, their TV play-by-play guy, going to be joining us. And, hey, you know what? They have been with us since day one of the show, the premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio, Doctors Aileen Kruger and Tyler Boland over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry.
Saw them yesterday.
Yeah, did you really? And how?
Did
and everyone doing good?
Fantastic experience. Talked about the playoffs. They're excited. It was a great time.
You know, they're all a bunch Preds fans, which is always fun to go in and talk hockey when you go in there. And not only that, they're just darn good at what they do. I mean, sedation dentistry, in-office whitening, restorations, you name it, they do it over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com or call them for an appointment at 615-872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We Brighten Smiles. Kenny, going deep. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I mean, you get a little Ram Jam bringing us in out of the voice of the Predators, Pete Weber, and we go from the voice of the Predators, Pete Weber, to the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes. First time on Slapshot Radio. We're so glad to welcome him. Mike Maniscalco. Mike, welcome to Slapshot Radio.
Well, Paul, thanks for having me. And believe it or not, I have ties to Pete Weber back in his Buffalo Sabre days as calling the games on WGR. I actually engineered a couple of his games. So it's always great to hear Bubba's voice, and thanks for having me.
You know, it's funny, Mike, because we went to Pete and I went to a baseball game on Sunday, and he actually told me that you were that you worked for him and to ask you about your days at WGR. And he said you'd know.
Oh yeah. So if you've got the I'll try to tell this as quick as I can. So I was very young at the time, and Pete and Danny Gare were out on the West Coast doing a Sabres Kings game. And I was running the overnight shift. Remember when we used to have people work the overnight shifts in radio?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how old I am. Yeah. and Pete's in LA, and I walk in for my shift, and I thought that the normal engineer would just finish the game. Well, clock hits midnight. He walks out the door and goes, "All right, have fun with the game. I haven't been trained on the game or anything how to do this." So I get thrown into the deep end of the pool, and I don't talk to Pete at all. And all of a sudden, Pete hollers down the line, "Hey, is there anybody there?" And, you know, I hit the talk back button as we go inside radio now for everyone. I go, "Hello, Mr. Weber. Yeah, I'm here." And he goes, "Great. Who's this mystery voice?" And I introduce myself. And he goes, "Please call me Pete. Don't ever call me Mr. Weber again." And he goes, so for the first, you know, five or whatever minutes, because I didn't say anything to him, he's like, "Here we are on the air, Pete Weber, Danny Gare, and some mystery man is running our game, we hope, back in Buffalo, New York." So that was my introduction to to Pete on the air, and he is just a great guy. And I would love to tell you everything I am is because of Pete Weber. So I will tell you that everything I am is because of Pete Weber.
Well, I tell you what, he has a special place in our hearts. That's for sure. Actually, Pete was co-host of this show for 8 seasons as well. So, you know, we got to know Pete real well as far as that goes. You're right. Great guy. So let's turn our attention to the series. Boy, what a great environment at the arena last night. Almost 12K fans in the house. And man, they made themselves heard. Mike, what was it like to have a, you know, a 3-quarter house last night?
You know, I think we forgot exactly what it was like to have fans in the building like that. And when you use terms, and I know we've used them a lot, you know, it's an electric atmosphere, or it was magical. It was really all of those things, because one, and Rod Brind'Amour said this the best after the game, it was just great to have fans in the building again because of everything we've been through, and to get a little slice of normal, and for people to just watch a hockey game, enjoy it, have fun, cheer. But to be able to do that and keep doing that and not worry about anything else. You know, you've been in Bridgestone, Paul, when in Brent's been in there. You guys, when the crowd takes it over, a team can feed off of it. You feed off of it. It brings up your energy level. And that's what happened at PNC Arena last night. I think for both teams, honestly, because if you look at the start of that game, it was a pretty big start for both teams to play in front of that crowd and to get into it in both sides of it. But for the Canes, much like the Predators, I've said this when the series started, the two teams in the NHL that I think feed off of their fans the most to a positive result are the Hurricanes and the Predators. So for the Canes to get that 12,000 in that building was huge for them, and I do think it made a difference, especially as the game wore on.
Slapshot Radio with the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes, Mike Maniscalco. Zach?
Mike, it usually helps if I turn the microphone on. Mike, quick question for you. You know, your first year with the team in this position, what has this ride been like for you? I mean, this has been quite a year for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, it's been amazing. You know, I don't think, Zach, I could have scripted it any better. I get moved into this position. The team wins the Central Division. And I'll go with that, a little bit of a cheat code for me. Only having to know 7 teams kind of made life a little bit easier. You know, not having to jump on that flight from Minneapolis and St. Paul, and you end up at Winnipeg at 1:30 in the morning, and you get ready for the Jets the next day, which, you know, I've done as the reporter and the pregame show host. So that it's made it easy. At the same time, trying to call games off of a monitor is not the easiest thing in the world to do. I do not want any – I'm not looking for sympathy when I say things like that. At the end of the day, we're calling games. So it was an absolute wild ride to – have hockey back, to be able to call it, to have it in front of me, and then to have the high level that this Hurricanes team can play at. I've joked with a few people. A lot of folks said, you know, you've done a really good job this year adjusting to this role. And I said, give all the credit to the team that won 36 games, because if this is a team that won 13 games this year, you'd probably think I was awful at my job. So the credit goes to the team and the fact that they are so good and so skilled. It's one of these things. I keep waiting for it to be the end of remember the TV show Dallas? I keep waiting to pop in the shower and Bobby Ewing's waiting for me like it's all been a dream. One of those kind of things. Don't read anything else into that. I'm just going with like it's a dream sequence. Somebody's supposed to tell me that it's not supposed to happen. But it's just been something I've wanted, you know, when I realized that I was not going to make the major leagues because of my lack of athletic ability, I figured I could get there talking. And to get here and to work with the crew that I work with and work with Tripp Tracy every game, it's been fantastic. And then for the ride that this team is on, it's made it even better.
Yeah, you know what? I'm very familiar with that one, with a total lack of athletic talent. So, again, talking is the only way I was able to get into any kind of professional sports. We're on the line with Mike Maniscalco, the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes. And you know what? We got a former Hartford Whaler over here. Brent, say hi to Mike.
I was in Buffalo, too.
Yes, that's true. You were. Brent Peterson there, Mike.
Hi, Mike. I just wanted to ask you a little bit about Brind'Amour. I think he's a heck of a coach, and I just watched him closely the last few games we've played them. He knows when to match up teams. He knows when to match up lines. He knows when to move lines around, and he seems to have a real good feel for the game. After he's not a young coach, but he hasn't been around a long time. So I just wondered what your thoughts are of Brind'Amour.
Yeah, it's just his third year as the head coach, but yeah. You know, he had about 8 seasons as an assistant, and Brent, you played against him, so you know the kind of player that he was. And the thing that he does best, you hit the nail on the head. He has a great feel for the game. When to mix up lines, when to get a matchup that he wants, or when to get somebody away from a matchup. And I think all of it has to do with he still thinks the game as a player, not as a coach. And as the game has evolved through the years, I think that to have that kind of mind behind the bench of, you know, how would I go about this as a player? And then to be able to relate, give that information to the guys he's sending over the boards and what he wants them to do. That's key. And then the other thing too, I don't know how many times, you know, a coach would come up and ask you to do something and you're kind of like, this probably isn't the right thing for our team to do this. Although, I mean, you played for Scotty Bowman, so you know exactly when you've got a coach who's like, this is how we're going to do it and this is how it's going to be done. You know, Rod takes feedback from his staff. He listens to the players for, you know, what works and what doesn't. But he can go to everybody in that locker room and say, look, I need you to do this because he was the captain of a Stanley Cup championship team, because he was a first-line center. He played on the power play. He killed penalties. He played in the Olympics. He played for Team Canada. You know, he's done every role. And then at the end of his career, you know, he accepted to be the fourth line center and, you know, a specialty role and saw his minutes reduced. So he can talk to every player and relate to them. And that's the other big part of it. He relates to this group as people. He doesn't view them as their players and he's the coach. He looks at this as we're a group that has one goal and wants to get it done. And he pushes the right buttons almost every night. Honestly, I can't think of a night where he did something and you can go back and say, well, that's on Rod Brind'Amour, that he didn't put this team in the right position. And the other part of it is he never takes any credit for this. He gives all the credit to the guys on the ice. He gives the credit to his assistants. He doesn't take the credit for it. And this group loves playing for him because that's what he believes in. That's his belief. And you see it with how this team plays, that if he asks them to do something, they're going to find a way to get it done on the ice.
Yeah, as a Flyers fan, before the Predators hit Nashville, you know, I can remember my brother actually named their St. Bernard Brind'Amour when Rod Brind'Amour played for the Flyers back in the 90s. So, yeah, you know, and he does coach like he played. You can absolutely see that. Mike, you know, it's a shame we're not going to see you in Nashville for Game 3 and Game 4. I've got about 30 seconds right now. I'm wondering if you could tell me, put on your coach's hat and tell me, what do the Nashville Predators need to do to come out with a split?
Well, I think one of the things they have to do is get pucks in deep on this Hurricanes defense and make Carolina go 200 feet. Too many times Nashville was trying to gain the zone, and the Canes are so good at standing up the opposition and taking away that time and space. So, you know, it's not the most aesthetically pleasing style of hockey, but the simple style is sometimes the best, and they've got to get to that. And also, don't get caught up in this, you've got to out-hit the Carolina Hurricanes. Somehow, somewhere, the Canes have got this rap that, you know, well, if you hit them, they'll go away. That's not true. So you've got to try to not beat them at their own game. But you know that you're going to go into this game and you're going to have to find a way to score 3 or 4 goals on Carolina. You can't try to play this game and say we're going to win it 2-1 against the Hurricanes because of how good they are with their forecheck and puck possession and taking away the middle of the ice against their opponents. So get away from this mentality of you've got to hit them to win and kind of get into the mentality of we've got to get more offensive zone time, which is something that the Preds didn't have enough of in Game 1. So if they want to come back to Bridgestone with a split, that's what they have to do. And one last thing about Rod Brind'Amour. Yep. I think the most amazing thing about his career, as you mentioned, being a Philly fan, the only man in the history of Philadelphia sports to never be booed by Philadelphia fans. He's a unicorn for that. So
you know what? You're
another reason.
You may be right there. You may absolutely be right there. And Mike, I will tell you, I don't know if we're going to see considering that I believe the stat was 100 hits between the two teams on last night, I believe was the final number.
I, I got 105, 56 for Carolina, and 49 for Nashville.
I have a funny feeling the hitting's probably still going to continue. Mike, we're looking forward to tomorrow night. Also, it's a shame we won't see you here in Nashville, at least for this year, but we can't wait to meet you next year. Mike, thanks so much for joining us tonight on Slapshot Radio.
Guys, thank you. Trust me, nobody is more upset about not going to Nashville than me. Please go to Roberts and have a fried bologna sandwich for me.
All right. Absolutely. The man has been here. You can tell. Slapshot Radio will be right back right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, my. We go from the 70s to the 80s. And Kenny's going nuts behind the glass over here. He's a big Frankie Goes to Hollywood fan. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Kenny, as an 80s nightclub DJ, I have played that song probably in the five digits.
I bet you. So this is not old to you at all.
No, actually, that's something that I'm just completely sick of hearing.
I'm sure it is.
Because there's probably five or six songs that are better on that album. But anyway.
Yet a message that the Preds should heed. And really, Pred Nation should
heed.
And
you know what?
That was the theme.
Very good.
I'd pick it up what you're putting down. I got you, Kenny.
Absolutely. Because you know what? We talked about it in the first segment. But I think that what could be their theme song, especially for the first D pair.
Well, Mattias Ekholm said it best earlier today. Never too high, never too low. And that would have been the message if we'd have won last night, too. Mm-hmm. And that's what this team has to say. Okay, you got us in game one. You're not going to get us in game two. They have to take that goaltender-like mentality where it's like, okay, learn the lesson and move on.
And you can't go like the Mike said on the last segment we had. You can't just go in there thinking you're going to run them out of the building and everybody's going to hit everybody. You have to take you don't have to take it all out of your game. You have to tweak it a little bit, and then you got a little bit of balance, and now you can go, and you can go like we've gone in the last 2 months. We've been playing, like the one player said today on the radio, we've been playing this kind of hockey the whole time. It was just one of our losses, and they've been playing that kind of hockey for 2 months and winning most of the games.
Right.
So they can do it still.
Oh.
You just got to believe. It's hard to say that, but belief is huge.
Well, again, it's belief, it's confidence, it's the things. And you know, what's funny is that I get what Mike was saying about that, but you know what? I disagree. I'm not saying that there needs to – I think there needs to be a better balance because I think there was – I think we had a couple of players out there that were trying to hit anything that moved.
Right.
And but when you looked at the purposeful ones – And I'll go to Tanner Janot on that. Tanner Janot knows when to unload and knows when to avoid it. It just seems to be innate for that young player. And you know, but I also saw in a Matthew Olivier last night that was kind of running around. You know, and so when you look at that, I think there needs to be a balance as far as that goes. So I'm going to ask the two of you. Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Zach, you're going to be first. What lineup changes do you make tomorrow night?
Well, in my opinion, I think you obviously have to reinsert Ellie Tolvin into the lineup. David Poile said as much earlier today on 3D. And I do think that, Darren Donick and Chase has been 3D in forever. However, if you look at this lineup right now, I think it's Forsberg, Johansson, Tolvin, and as your top line. And frankly, I would move Duchesne into the top six. I mentioned it earlier. If you're playing Matt Duchesne, you need to play Matt Duchesne. Your second line becomes Granlin, Duchesne, and either Grimaldi or Arvidsson. I think Arvi had a tough game last night. He was starting to play well defensively, and I think that's great. But at the same time, there's just something still off with his game. Make your third line with Yarncroak, Halla, and Brad Richardson, and then reinsert Tanner Janot into the fourth line.
All right. I think we – okay. We got Zach's lineup card. What are you thinking about changes in the lineup?
For me, that's a little bit too many changes, but you got to find the balance still. Mm-hmm. And I would put Richardson in the lineup for somebody. I'd probably Olivier, and I'd put Tolvanen in there for Arvi. Just I love Arvi. Don't get me wrong. I
know what you're saying.
I love Arvi, but he's been hurt all last part of the year here, and he goes right into a playoff game without any games in the last, what, three weeks or something, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it, that's tough on them, and it was a tough game. They were ready for us, and I make one change on defense. I switch up the defense pairings, and I throw in Benning.
Yeah.
Benning for
I happen Harper to agree. Because, I mean, and I, you know, the quote, I know Kenny's looking for it because I'd really like to hear, I didn't catch it today, but, you know, that quote from David Poile was interesting. I mean, because when you look at it, that when you have, and if you didn't hear it, we're looking for it right now, but, and, you know, basically saying, hey, one of our best power play guys was on the scratch list last night. And I look at it from a standpoint of this should be Ellie Tolvanen's time to shine. Okay, I mean, this is a guy that has, you know, dominated in the Olympics, has dominated on the world stage, has, you know, this is not unfamiliar.
Well, the guy whose records he was breaking in the KHL is currently lighting it up for the Minnesota Wild and Kirill Kaprizov. So let Ellie Tolvanen get out there and do what Ellie Tolvanen can do. This is a player who is going to give your power play some life. Now, there is some question whether or not he is still dealing with that nagging injury that's going on.
That could be it.
And it could be. But you look at the way that he was playing in those last two Carolina games. He was physical. He had a great forecheck presence. He was playing the kind of game that you need to play to beat Carolina.
I think he was hurting because he didn't look the same.
Nobody came back.
Before
you're
he
right.
got hurt, he was great.
You're right.
He couldn't stop. He's in the slot. The puck was gone. He's on the half wall on the power play. The puck was in the net or a good pass across. He was so good. And then he came back. And he looks. I don't know what kind of injury he has.
Yeah, no one does.
I'm just sort of looking. I'm saying, is there something wrong with his groin or his knee or something? Because he's not skating like he did.
Yeah. And the other thing
was he's still trying to be physical, but he wasn't skating like he did before that. So I figured they'd maybe give him a game or two here, or one game now.
Yeah.
And get him back in there and get him. And now there's no excuses because we got, like, I go back to the lines when we were winning those 3 weeks and 4 weeks. I'd go back to Cousins and Hala and whoever.
Yeah. The question I have, and you mentioned it, because I would absolutely make a change on that third D pair, but I'd only swap out one.
Right.
And I think you're right. I think Benning's the one to swap out.
And there's Grimaldi too. We haven't talked about him.
See, Grimaldi I think would be a good add as well.
Everybody says he's too small.
I don't think it's small. I think it's the problem that Hines has with Duchesne amplified. Grimaldi is scoring in bunches. His defensive game is very weak right now.
Right.
And if he doesn't like Matt Duchesne's defensive game, then boy, does he hate Rocco Grimaldi's.
Yeah, well, and Rocco's just sort of a folder.
Exactly.
And he makes goals with his own skill and speed. That's how he beats a guy and then gets a goal.
Mm-hmm.
But he finds a way to get score. He was our leading scorer in the Arizona bubble last year.
Well, you know, here's the other thing, though. And you mentioned the other guy that I was really scratching my head trying to figure out why he wasn't in the lineup last night. That's Brad Richardson. I'm sorry. Brad Richardson destroyed this team last year. He always steps up for the playoffs. This is the reason why you bring him on. And that's where I look at and go, I wonder why he wasn't in there.
You know what? All these guys that we've talked about have been hurt this year quite a bit, and maybe there is some nagging injuries, and maybe he's just going to take the heat for not playing these guys. But you don't want to play a guy that's not close to 100. Maybe your top guy like Forsberg, if he's down 100%, you might want to play him.
Right.
But some of these guys, you can't break away on a forecheck. You can't get in there. You get in there slow, and it's just it's a tough situation when you got injuries. Injuries cause a lot of trouble with NHL's teams, boy.
Well, and we saw it, and it causes trouble. But in the case of the Nashville Predators, it caused some positive. And the interesting piece now is that because you've played, was it 15 different defensemen this year? 15 different defensemen this year. And look at all the man games lost. Look at all the kids. And this is what, you know, I think is probably where I don't envy John Hines right now, because you've got these players that have stepped up and done what they need to do. And, you know, now it's like, okay, wait a minute, I've done what I'm supposed to do. How come I'm not in there, coach?
Right.
And you know what? I'm sorry. Unfortunately, you can only dress so many. And it's really probably going to be the toughest piece of Hines's coaching over the next over the next couple of games, however long the series goes, however long the Nashville Predators playoff run goes, this is going to be something that's going to dog him. And now, if he finds a lineup that works,
every win he'll be a genius, and every loss he'll be a dope.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Well, we've got one more segment to analyze this and look ahead to tomorrow night's game here. I do want to talk to you just for a second about our good friend Carter Church with KW Murfreesboro. You know, Carter is just, I've seen how his 20 years of media and marketing experience has driven his proven success as a real estate agent. You need Carter on your team, especially in this fast-paced, incredibly hot real estate market. You need someone with experience. You need someone that knows what they're doing. Call Carter today at 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter Church, your real estate professional, if you're buying or if you're selling. I'm telling you, Carter knows homes. You got to call Carter today, and we'll be right back right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Kenny is sending the messages. Take it easy, relax, not bad. But I'm trying to figure out where, Black Betty fits in on this, because that was the first one in.
There were a lot of hits, so there was a lot of bam-a-lam going on.
Ah, got
Black
it.
Betty okay. was just a vibe.
Slapshot Radio at ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is interesting because, we were just talking about this in the break. I have to bring it up. There was a tweet out, I want to say, right after the playoff field was established. And somebody came out and just showed the amount of people that were going to be allowed in the arenas, of all the playoff teams. All the Canadian teams were zero. And then it was 2,000, 3,000, 3,000, 4,000. And there was Nashville gaudy at the top of 12,200. And, so you're welcome, okay? Because the only reason why there were 12 grand in Carolina last night is because they saw that we were going to have 12 grand. So they got it, first. That's fine. And you're welcome. So anyway, I had to get that in there.
Yeah, sure.
So, all right.
You're the boss. We don't even, we just.
So, yep. Nod and smile, Brent. Nod and smile.
I'm not mad at that at all.
I'm not mad at it. I mean, because you look at, obviously you look at the atmospheres that are being built. Well, full props to the gang in Sunrise. Panther fans are going bonkers, man. That place has been, electric, for game one.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Which let's look at it. I mean, let's talk about that Tampa Florida series. Game two going on right now, but my Lord, that game one was one of the best hockey games I have seen in a long time, Zach.
That was one of those games that makes new fans. And you saw some articles come out over the last few days talking about people who are on Twitter being like, what is this and where do I get more? It was a situation where I didn't watch the game live, but after seeing everything about it, went back and rewatched it. And oh my God, what a hockey game. It was just, it was everything you want in the sport in 60 minutes of play.
Yeah, it was good, but the guy forgot his whistle at home, and the two referees forgot the whistles at home.
You know what, though? I really thought
wish last night's refs would have got that message.
I gotta give them credit, because I thought those are I think it was T.J. Luxmore and was it Gord Dwyer?
No, it was.
I can't remember who the tall guy. I can't remember who the second one was, but the two, they did a phenomenal job of keeping control of that game. And those that say you have to make calls to keep control of a game,
you don't really.
Those two referees, and Luxmore's a young guy. I mean, they did a really good job of keeping that game under control, keeping those two teams focused. You saw them talking to them constantly, making sure they understood what was going on. I mean, we complain about NHL refereeing a lot, but that was just an absolute masterclass in how to keep control of a game that's a game that could have spun out of control in a heartbeat, as crazed as that environment was, and how those two teams went after each other.
And they went after each other right away, right from the drop of the puck, and they went, it was like a rugby game in the corners, and they come out, and then they had some speed, and then Kucherov, I mean, Tampa Bay, they're living off their power play.
Yep.
And Joel Quenneville is a real good coach. He's got a lot of experience, and he's going to be all right. They're going to be all right there.
I still think Florida's got a good puncher's chance of this series.
Oh, you're Tampa, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, did you see what Nikita Kucherov came out and did?
Oh, it was
in
unbelievable. I know. It was amazing. Oh,
after that much time off, just comes out and is his same electric self. That is insane. And you see a lot of people being like, oh, cap circumvention.
Oh, please. Man, man, man.
If you can sit a player like Nikita Kucherov and Steven Stamkos and still make the playoffs, you deserve to have them. Way to go. That'd be like us saying, you know what, Philip Forsberg, take the season off. Do you think we make the playoffs if that happens? Absolutely not.
Yeah, probably
that
not.
Is a luxury that you can afford when you are built as well as the Tampa Bay Lightning. Full credit to Steve Yzerman and by extension Julien Brisebois, because wow, what a team.
I don't like them.
I'll tell you what,
I don't like them. I don't like this yellow team either, this Pittsburgh Penguins. So
you know,
I don't like anybody anymore. I don't know.
I tell you, but, you know,
fair.
Brett's becoming a bitter man over there.
He really
is. He's becoming a bitter guy. I mean, the other series I do want to bring up and talk about just for a minute or two is the Vegas Minnesota series. You know, I thought Minnesota had a puncher's chance in this series. I'm thinking Minnesota is
real good chance in this series.
Not just a real good chance. I look at them as almost a favorite right now after that first game.
I mean, any team that comes in there, and you know, I'm reminded of that classic Mike Tyson quote, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And make no mistake, the Minnesota Wild came in and just socked them right in the jaw in game one. It was surprising. I mean, I knew the Wild had been having a good season. Kirill Kaprizov had been electric for that team. But wow, I mean, Bill Guerin and former Admirals coach Dean Evason have been doing incredible work up in the Twin Cities lately.
Well, and you're seeing the right role players in there too. Ryan Hartman's doing a good job for Minnesota this year.
Yeah, it's been Preds castoffs all over between Nick Bonino, Ryan Suter, Kevin Fiala. I mean, all having really good seasons for the Wild.
I mean, you know, coach, he's Ryan Suter's doing all the things you taught him.
Oh yeah.
You know, you don't seem happy about that,
no,
coach.
He's a good player, and he's likes to cross check guys in the back, and I showed him how to do it so you don't get a penalty doing it.
As long as you don't extend your arms, right?
Yeah, that's right. But it hurts just as much when you hit it anyways. But, no, they've done a great job in Minnesota turning that team around right away without going into you know, 2-3 years of rebuild. They retooled it, and they did it right away. And this Kaprizov is unbelievable. And so's I can't even remember his name. The guy that went from New Jersey to and signed with Suter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Parise.
Parise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't even play some games.
No.
Don't need to. He's got like $10 million a year, him and Suter. And Suter just plays a lot less. And he's still an old guy, but he's a good old guy, though.
And yet between the two of them, if you add their ice time together, you still get like a solid second liner minutes out of the two of them. So,
you know, it's that one I'm really looking forward to, you know, the game two of that tonight.
Right.
You know, the interesting thing, and you look at the North Division, they're not even starting until Thursday.
They're still playing regular season games.
Well, I mean, I think they've gotten we know what the matchups are. We know where people are now. But, yeah, I mean, North Division doesn't start until Thursday when, you know, everybody else has at least two. One's going to have three games in. The other one I want to talk about, since we're talking about, not only former Pred coaches on the the New York Islanders right now, but let's talk about former Preds coach Peter Laviolette and the Washington Capitals. Zach, what do you make of them right now? It's just it's an interesting team, and I'm not sure if it's an interesting good or interesting bad.
Yeah, when you figure them out, let me know, because I got nothing on them right now. They one time will look like world beaters, and then they will not. Now, you know who is having a good time in that series? Taylor Hall has remembered who Taylor Hall is all of a sudden, has been absolutely phenomenal for the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, he's using his speed, doing the things he should have been doing all these years. So, but he was very good. But Peter's got some troubles going on. He's got goaltenders that aren't really making the big saves. And his Kuznetsov is a heck of a player, and they miss him more than they would miss anybody up front.
Yep.
And he's their number one guy. So I mean, Carl, you know, they still have a good team. And they have a really good team, but they're not the team they are without Kuznetsov.
No, I agree with you. No question about it. Well, that's going to do it for Slapshot Radio here on in the rocking chair of the hockey block on 102.5 The Game.
We just got going.
I know. Penalty Box Radio is up next. They're stacking up outside the studio here. So, you know, we do want to thank you for joining us for Slapshot Radio. Big thank you to Mike Maniscalco, the play-by-play announcer for the Carolina Hurricanes, joining us tonight. Big thank you to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, and Carter Church from KW Murfreesboro. When you visit one of our sponsors, please make sure you tell them about you heard them on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, Kenny on the wheels of steel back there, co-host Brent Peterson and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.